Hey friends, it's your intrepid warrior David Landjuli with Fundraising Leadership, and I'm here with my two friends and colleagues, Margaret Katz Kahn and Michelle Malloy Dillon. Hey friends.
Hey,
Hey David.
David.
So we were chatting about the zone of genius today before we got on. We were talking about some of our own work. And we thought we might share a little bit with the audience about this thing called zone of genius. So what is it?
Well,
In the realm of work, in the realm of work.
yeah, should we start at zone of genius or at the other end of the steps?
There's a
Maybe we
whole
should.
range here.
Right. Yeah,
Zone of
there are
genius is
there.
like when we're doing that thing that we just, it brings us great joy and we're in complete flow. It's that place of feeling like all is right in what we're doing.
And it's also something that is very akin to your zone of excellence. Like when you're in your zone of genius, anybody looking from the outside at your work would say you're clearly excellent at it, and you derive great joy from it. And that's the distinction between zone of excellence. It's work that you do that you are well recognized for, that any independent observer would put you in the top 1% or top 5% or top 10% of people in that field.
And maybe we could start and we could go through all of the different zones and give some examples. And so at the bottom of the stairs is your zone of incompetence.
Zone of incompetence.
Wah, wah. I'm
Wah,
not very
wah.
good at
This is
it.
work that you're not good at, and that, to use a harsh word, you hate.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to say, I'm sure I have many, but the one that comes to mind is like fixing things in my house using tools like projects. Whew, that is just, I'm not good at it. I don't enjoy it. I start wanting to throw things. Like it's just a no thank you for me.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, I relate to that a lot too, Margaret. My husband and I have decided we hire out for any home fix-it projects at this point in time. It is, Never, it's never going to go well if we try to fix something ourselves.
That's what they invented handy people for.
Exactly. And we appreciate them greatly. Yes. About you, David, what would you name in your zone of
Well,
incompetence?
incompetence. I used to be pretty competent with numbers, and after I had my stroke, and I had a little brain damage, that's an area that I really struggle with these days. So I was actually serving as a treasurer of a nonprofit, and like I had to step down from that role because I was like the numbers were all just swirling around and I couldn't keep track of them. So I would say that kind of intense number crunching is something now in my zone of incompetent. I'm competent enough to sit with my bookkeeper and accountant every month for him to go through the numbers with me, and I can recognize, what needs to be recognized there.
Well, in the zone of incompetence is we're going to stop doing it eventually. Like we've all
Exactly.
shared,
I
it's
had to
like,
stop. Right.
And this is the
So what?
place where if your work is in your zone of incompetence, it's time to very seriously consider a giant change. Like this is not a place that's healthy to spend a ton of time.
Either that or you're going to get fired.
Right.
It's like you hate it and you're not good at it. So you either quit or you get fired. Or stop doing it, like step down from the role.
And then there's the next step up the staircase for your metaphor, Margaret, which I love, is that's the zone of competence. And the zone of competence is, well, I can do it. It's not a whole lot of joy that's happening, but I have the capability to get this done. Do you have an example for yourself, Michelle?
Well, it's funny. What comes to me right now is email. I can, I can get it done. I can sift through it. It's not been giving me much joy lately, but it's necessary and I do it.
Yeah, another thing about the zone of competence is like you don't really bring anything that anyone else couldn't do. Like if you could probably delegate that to an admin, you would.
Right.
And that's the thing about zone of competence. It's like, yeah, you can do it, but if you're a leader out there, it's probably better, you're not adding any value. Like setting appointments. Like when I was leading a team at Princeton, I just delegated that. Like I'm very competent at my schedule, right? But it added no value. And I just had my admin, people could reach out to her. She had access to my calendar. She knew what my parameters were, my boundaries were, and she would just do the scheduling, Yeah.
For me, I'd say in my zone of competence is the thing before the stroke for David, like bookkeeping, keeping track of numbers, budgeting, bill paying, like all of those things. Yes, I can do it. I can make the numbers add up. And I just want in the audience or whoever is listening, like listen to my voice, just like Michelle's
She's
voice and
talking
David's
about
voice. Like when we talk about what's in the zone of competence, we lose all of our
it.
enthusiasm and kind of, all of your range. It's that's how you know when you're talking about an activity.
I can do it.
Right.
That's the
The
tone of voice that
fire
we tend
is,
to have.
yeah, yes, your spark has left the building.
Right.
Yeah. And then,
Again, certainly something in the realm of management and leadership. If you can delegate these tasks, delegate them. It's just you're not adding any value by doing it. Like, yes, now I do my own appointments because I don't have an admin. So, and I'm competent at it. So I do it,
yeah.
But would I rather not? Yes, I would rather not. So let's take the next step up the stairway to joy, and that would be our zone of excellence. This is the tricky one. This is the tricky one. So this is work and tasks that you do. Like you're in the 1 to 10%. Like when I was a professional fundraiser, I was excellent. I'm sure the same for you, Margaret.
I would say that it occasionally went into a zone of genius, but I think a lot of it was in excellence. Yes, I was very good at it. I enjoyed it. I felt highly competent and good at it. Every once in a while, as I said, a gift or a conversation would propel me into a higher place. But for the most part, whew, annual appeal season, and let's get this done, and let's make our goals. And yeah, a lot of that energy. Yeah,
my zone of excellence. I mean, since we're talking about the past, it comes up from my photography business. So I was a very good photo editor. I was very good at
You
it.
were excellent photo editor.
I was an
You
excellent
are an
photo
excellent. You
editor.
still are when you have to be.
If I have to. But yeah, there's not a want to it because it did bring me some sense of satisfaction, but it wasn't that level of zone of genius where it brought me like great joy. So
Yeah, right.
there's like an in between with that zone of excellence. I've perfected being a photo editor.
Yeah, this is where it gets these zones are can overlap.
And also be really slippery.
Slippery is correct. So the slipperiest one, I think, is zone of excellence, because if you've achieved anything in your life and had some success, then you're developed some excellence in various areas. If you've and you almost always get rewarded well financially for working in your zone of excellence, and so it's hard to let go of. And this is where a lot of people can burn out, actually. This is where burnout hides in this zone, actually.
It
It,
can be a
that's where it
trap.
hides. Yeah, the hyperachiever lives in the zone of excellence. Yeah.
Yeah, like
In
I'm
from
really good at
our
it. How can I not do it? Like, what else would I do?
But what's insightful about the model that we're talking about is the thing that propels you from the zone of excellence into your zone of genius is that it gives you great joy. And that's the key, right, to being extraordinary at something, to feeling incredibly lucky to get to do something, to not getting burned out. It's just, you're really good at it. And, oh, this is amazing.
Right.
I want to do
And you
more of
can,
that.
yeah.
right. You can spend long periods of time, and time seems to warp. It evaporates. You lose all track of time in it, typically. This is the flow state, has
And
been described
other
elsewhere.
people are observing it too. Like in the zone of genius, other people can see that you are in the flow state. They can see that joy. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's observable. Yeah.
And
So
it can
David,
be
your zone
things.
of
So,
genius is, David, your zone of genius is teaching, like, teaching people about new concepts, new ideas. Yeah.
I've never thought of that, but yes, I think when we're together, and when you and I co-lead things, I can get a little teachy. I've been criticized for that, by the way,
Oh.
by my leadership tribe, that I can be a little teachy. Yeah.
Oh, I see it as a zone of
Anyway,
genius.
well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. And for you, Michelle, yeah, you have a different energy when you're co-leading. You're more, I think you're just more coach-like when you're in front of the room, in your which is in your, being one-on-one coach is definitely your zone of genius. And like what I've observed with Margaret, this is me like observing each of you in your zone of genius, is Margaret can read space and sense what's going on energetically in a space like nobody's business. So we each have like, so we each bring something a little bit different when we are co-leading some of our training programs, but all three of us would say maybe that training piece is in our zone of genius, but in different ways.
And I think all of us would say that coaching is in a zone of genius. I know for me, for sure, when I finish coaching, I feel lit up. I feel like impact. I've had impact. I feel lucky. Oh, I can't believe I get to do this. And it maybe has been intense. It maybe has been fun and sometimes not fun, but it doesn't matter. Like the realness of it just lights me up. And I think that's true for both of you as well.
Absolutely. It's
And then,
incredibly satisfying. Incredibly satisfying.
and then there are places where we get to be in our zone of genius that aren't for work, right? Because not everybody at this moment has a job that feels like it's in their zone of genius. But I know there are people out there who find that in gardening or cooking, or for me, writing. I love, love, love my writing. That's a great place for me. And
So we want to encourage you all to begin to notice, like, what are these areas of your life or your work where you are really living in your zone of genius? And what are these other areas? How do you want to point more toward your zone of genius, those things that bring you joy, and perhaps delegate those areas of competence or incompetence that you're not that great at, but you're
Or
figuring it
even
out.
excellence, like even like minimizing what you may be excellent at, but doesn't bring you great joy. And here's another spoiler alert. Something that's in your zone of excellence can become a zone. You can develop great joy and satisfaction in it. And there's like, for me, that's been like over 9 years of training. I went from incompetent to competent to excellent to now genius, where I enjoy it more than I ever have. But that's taken 9 years. So it can be like that. It can be like that. So this work comes from the 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. Just want to reference it there for you if you want to. That's a great book. It's a great leadership book. But if you really would like some help in distinguishing these zones, reach out to one of us, schedule a coaching session. We're all very skilled in this methodology, and We can maybe help you steer yourself more into your zone of genius.
Yeah, help you climb up a step or two.
Go put it into practice. We'll see you
All
next
right,
time.
take care. See you next time.